going to spend a couple more minutes on this idea of what it means to be done. Let's go to Galatians 6.
One of the things I would appreciate, oh, and you said that, you know, you want me to talk about the other side, and you said you can't, and one of the things I appreciate about Trinity is, or coming around here, is it seems like if it has to do with God, we'll talk about it, you know, we'll get to the bottom of it, no matter what it is, if it's overly religious, or, you know, just no matter what, we'll talk about it. I personally don't have a problem anymore with appearing as off scouring. I'm pretty used to that in some arenas, and you know that's not an issue to me. And I'm rumbling with this question of how far the cross goes. Tom or Paul talked about, I think he said we are partakers, you know, and who's the we, you know, and Tom has said things like, you know, who's the person that's waiting, and it says wait on the Lord, you shall mount the wings of the eagle, yada yada, you know, who is the person that's waiting, and, you know, and we are crucified with him, but yet we're here, if we're alive. We're breathing, and you know, what exactly is crucified? You know, is it just the ego of man, or is it all of him? And how can that be if we're sitting here breathing and alive? And, I don't know. It's just
well, this
a
is
lot of unsettled little things going on there. All of a sudden, just wanted to throw that out there and get off my chest, really.
Go to Galatians 2 instead of 6. This is the conundrum, the mystery that is hid.
Yeah.
It's not understandable to the mind.
Yeah.
And the reason it isn't understandable, the reason that your mind cannot understand it is this whole idea of who the evil one is. Your mind can only be self for self, no matter how what it appears to be. The mind of Christ is self for others, without regard to what happens to you. And Paul said here in Galatians 2:20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. 2:20, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, and who's the me, and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. But I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. And the yet not I has to be the constant. Yet not I, yet not I, yet not I. Because as long as we are still in this body of sin and death, the mind will always try to be the I. It never stops. There's not two of you, there's one. And that one is the new creation. There's never been you. You've always been a vessel for deity. You were born a vessel for the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air. And that's how you walked. You walked according to that system. No matter what you did, it was according to the prince of the power of the air. That's why the crucifixion had to happen. That's why there are now only two generations, the generation of Adam and the generation of Christ. Go to a second, Ephesians 2. Verse 1. And you hath he quickened. Quickened means made alive. And who's the you? It's Christ in you. The evil one is dead. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. And no matter who you are, you walked according to the prince of the power of the air. I don't care how religious you were. If the cross wasn't involved, you were walking or conducting your life according to the prince of the power of the air. The instead of Christ will always accept Jesus as their personal savior because there's no death. He'll even agree to say, I am second. Anything to keep him alive in you. Now you mortify. Mortify isn't doing anything, it's just seeing. You mortify the deeds of the flesh. You see, you know that the evil one is gone. If you let him be gone. That's why repentance is always the only answer. Never trying to understand, never trying to work it out, but repentance. And that's how you work out your own salvation in fear and trembling, only by repentance. And that's a nutshell. Now, fruit of that is what we're talking about this morning, Galatians 6. Verse 12, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. Now remember, the word circumcised, you got to get this in your head. The word circumcised in common ordinary Greek language wasn't only that it was adopted to be the circumcision of that we normally think it about, but it was always to change your behavior. To start doing something or stop doing something. That was the whole message of what he's talking about circumcision here. So if anybody that desires to make a fair show in the flesh constrain you to be circumcised, lest they suffer persecution for the cross of Christ because of their association with you. I'm sure none of you have ever wanted anybody to be different than they were.
Minor change, expect people to be a little nicer.
For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. The only way the world is crucified unto you is when you no longer esteem the things of the world. But the world is crucified unto you, and you are crucified unto the world. And what that means is there is absolutely nothing about the mystery of Christ that's attractive to the world. Nothing. Everybody understand that? That's why it's called the off-scouring, the filth, all of the things that we've studied the last few days. That's why we are called that. There's no negotiating here. It's not a debate. It's black and white. It's vessel of wrath, vessel of mercy. There's no in-between. There's no neutral ground. That's what everybody wants to believe, that there's some neutral ground where you're walking according to your course instead of the course of the prince of the power of the air. And then, when you're walking according to what you see, what you do, what you, you know, the whole thing is about what he said, walking according to your mind, fulfilling the lusts of the flesh and of the mind. Is that cleared up any? That's why the cross is everything. I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's it.
That definitely it begs the question, why would anybody be interested in wrestling around with this stuff? You know?
That's right. This whole idea of what we are doing, what I teach, is stupid. It's asinine. It's foolish.
Either God is real and there really is a unction,
Yeah, the only function or unction is Jesus Christ in you. Or you're hopeless. There's no neutral ground. It's only the bride or the whore, vessel of wrath, vessel of mercy. That's all that's left. There's no American, there's no male, there's no female. There's no Israeli, there's no Mexican. There's no Russian. There's not even any Norwegians. There's only vessels of wrath or vessels of mercy. And this mystery has been hid from all ages, including this one.
We're given to know the mysteries, right?
I can't hear you.
We are given to know the mysteries. I mean, that's what it tells.
Well, if you're crucified, you know the mystery. If you're dead, you know the mystery. That's the only way. You can think you know. All right, that's enough of that. Let's go back to Luke. Luke 13.
Can I say one more thing, please? I've heard you mention, like in heaven, no male, no female, no age, or whatever. The thought of seeing your loved ones again in heaven to me now, after being around here for a while, seems elementary or...
The whole idea is it's a loss of self-consciousness. That's what happens.
Right, so it begs the question, why did He create us to, if I were to think of, of seeing Shannon again, the thought of me not caring.
I understand.
Why was I even made that way in the first place, to long to see her face again or her smile?
That's the perfect picture.
It doesn't even matter.
It's a parable. It's a picture of Christ longing for the bride. That's his. This is about the Christ and the bride. This is what the mystery is about. She's swallowed up in this mystery. And you will be also.
Right. So, in the meantime,
you lost.
I just pretend that.
You just pretend what? There's no. You don't have to pretend anything. She is in the bosom of God. There's no question. There's no doubt in my mind. And she was here to show us the mystery. I understand that. I understand how difficult it is. Everybody wants to have their own definition of heaven.
I'm really reaching for a definition of heaven. So.
But
it seems like an abnormally cruel. For me to have to, I'm extremely thankful that I totally believe with everything in me that she's fully at peace right now and taken care of. But, to my understanding,
The pain is there, so you can see the mystery and feel it, and it becomes tangible. It's made flesh. That you can see the longing that Christ has for the bride. That you will be fulfilled in ways that you can't even imagine. Because you will lose the consciousness of self. Lose the consciousness of self. That's all I talk about.
Part about being fulfilled in ways that you can't imagine.
Well, I think I talk about it all the time. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. But it's not the things that you think. Well, it is. That's the point.
That almost seems elementary anymore, though. I think everyone gets that. I got that the first week I was here. But it's obviously not. Anyway.
Can I say something about that? Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things have passed away. It hurts now. I mean, my father passed away 7 years ago. Still hurts. It's not the same as losing your child, but it hurts. But I have something to look forward to. It's worth looking forward to.
No, there's no debate that these are incredibly hard sayings. The idea that the idea that you are this being, and you and I are this being that is portrayed in these incredibly evil ways. But you are the instead of Christ, the Antichrist. You are sin personified. That's why the vessel of wrath had to die, so that it's now a vessel of mercy. But it cost you everything. It cost you your total idea of self-consciousness. That's what Paul said. I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Now nobody, that's enough to drive everybody away. Having not seen, we love, having joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, you've known that joy. But it's not about this thing, this consciousness of self, this concern with self. It's not about that. That's why it says, except you be converted and become as that little child, that darling infant before self-awareness, you can in no wise enter the kingdom. That's what everything we talk about is about.
That's that fine line. That's that elusive. That can be a very elusive line, that self-conscious thing, you know, whether I'm motivated by self.
Well, that's why I'm saying, that's why I'm, from my standpoint, I still believe that the end will come while I'm alive. And the test now, I would long for the test that said if I said I was a believer in Christ, I'd be shot. That would be simple. But the subtlety of the test now, in my mind, it's the final cosmetic of the bride. It's the cells that really reveal the mystery, and then that's what this cross is all about. I'm not saying people accept Jesus as their personal savior. They're not saved or not saved. That's not even in the debate. What I'm saying is that's infantile Christianity. That's still in the world waiting for you to pass on to wherever you're going after you die. And then you'll see, and then you'll be fulfilled. Well, but the mystery is that you as an individual will be fulfilled instead of the fulfillment of the mystery of God. All right. Let's at least start in verse 9. Back to Luke 13. Again, we have to reread the parable, otherwise it won't make any sense. In verse 6.
Apologies for derailing.
That's all right. You never have to apologize for that. That's what I want everyone to do. Chapter 13 of Luke, verse 6. He spake this parable, also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? He answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I dig about and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. So that's what we've been... The whole idea. Now, what we're studying now, about to study, is the word fruit. And it has several meanings. The one we know about readily is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Well, let's go there. Galatians 2. But it might be Galatians 5. Yeah, it is 5. fruit, well, let's go, the fruit of the flesh, the works of the, in verse 19. Well, let's work, no, excuse me, let's, we have to start in verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the lusts, flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now this is critical. This is why the Holy Spirit is always your enemy. Because you always got some idea, something you want to do, the fruit of the flesh, the fruit of the mind, and you're trying to, you're working to get it, you're working to get it, and the Holy Spirit comes along and says, nah. Fruit of the Spirit, fruit of the flesh, they're contrary one to the other. So that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, from my, that's, as I knew, I hated that.
Yeah.
I couldn't do the things that I wanted to. I tried, I couldn't do the things that I wanted to. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of which I tell you before, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit is something, I mean, I think I've talked about that over the years as much as I've talked about anything. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Now, and it's not fruits, it's fruit. Because this is the personality of Jesus Christ. The personality of the bride. Love, joy, peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Nothing can stand against it, but everything stands against it. This is the conundrum. This is why I wash dishes in the mornings. It's the only thing I do that I have effort expended, results seen. Well, I do that too, but washing dishes is more.
And plate and spoon inventory.
What?
Plate and spoon inventory.
That too. Pot inventory. Perry's OCD. Making sure everything's in the right place. I'm just as weird as anybody else. Probably weirder.
What do you mean, probably?
The only time we ever get a response from Sue is when somebody says something bad about me. Did you notice that?
Yeah, you get other responses from me a lot.
Take it, big guy. I have 24 seconds.